It's time now for Embrace the Space, a monthly segment designed to explore town planning from land use to housing to transportation and how it all works together. Interviews intended to educate the community on the importance of mindful development and to speak to the economic, social, and community goals of our towns. We've got the full archive of Embrace the Space conversations up on our website in the Town Square section of chapelboro.com. You can also just go right to it at chapelboro.com/embracethespace. Embrace the Space presented by Trinsic Residential Group, and as it happens, we are joined by the Trinsic Residential Group Managing Director of the Carolinas, Ryan Stewart, for this month's round of Embrace the Space. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So tell us about, first of all, before we get into Trinsic and the work that you do in Chapel Hill, tell us about yourself. How did you come to be in this field in the first place?
Sure. Grew up in the area and had an affinity for construction and went to NC State and started off in engineering and ended up in finance and ended up building office buildings in Texas for a bit and in retail and mixed use and ultimately multifamily. So I moved back here in 2019 after a decade and a half in Texas and opened the office for Trinsic.
So, awesome. What brought you back?
A combination of things, but primarily opportunistic. My kids had graduated from high school, and it was a good opportunity to come back and start an office for our company.
So give us a rundown just heading into further into 2023. Like, what's the work that Trinsic's doing right now in the Chapel Hill area, and what's to come?
Sure. We've got three projects in Chapel Hill, a fourth that's Chapel Hill mailing address, but is in Durham County. So we have our Farrington Road, Farrington 54 project that's a Chapel Hill address that's 250 units. Our Aura Chapel Hill project that's MLK and Estes that people probably know about that's we just started construction on. So 2 years there, we'll have 419 units, 58 townhomes, and about 15 to 20,000 feet of commercial space. Mm-hmm. We also have a project in Blue Hill called Aura Blue Hill, which is 328 units. We have 31 live-work studios, and that's a unique thing that we're bringing to the area. And then also a project that we're just working through now on South Elliott Road across from the Whole Foods and the Berkshire.
Awesome. So we're talking about development. There's a whole bunch of different needs and desires that go into putting together a development proposal. You want something that's going to make money for the developer, obviously. You also want something that's going to meet the needs of the community at large and kind of something that's in keeping with the values of the community at large and creating something that looks like what we want it to look like. With all of those things in mind, like, how do you approach a development proposal when you're sitting down to come up with something to present to the town?
Yeah,
how do you do it?
You set it up well. It's essentially what we try to do is make it organic as possible, meaning it's derived from the market that the project is in. So there's nuances between different markets and different requirements, but also different objectives of the town. So we try to understand that early and meet with the public officials and economic directors and chamber representatives to understand what that is, the type of housing, the type of additional uses that may be ancillary or complementary to the project. So whether it's affordable housing, green initiatives, additional retail, what type of retail, low parking ratio project, student housing or not student housing. So all those different dynamics that may be different from project to project, even where it is within the town. So that's generally, and I would say also you mentioned, you know, profitability. I would say that when we serve the community best and how we serve it is we're rewarded in that regard. So the more we align with that, then our success is kind of hand in hand.
You mentioned talking with town officials and like chamber representatives. How important is feedback from just like regular Chapel Hill residents or what would make that feedback useful? Like, what would you seek in that?
Yeah, definitely the community feedback's important. And, you know, we are a believer in living where we develop. And so we have five partners across the country, development partners, and we all live in the markets where we're developing. So it's an expression, but it actually has real implications. So we wake up here, we go to the same restaurants, we drive the same streets, we understand the pinch points on traffic, where the trends are, and And obviously we study our product type. And so with other developers, you know, seeing what the trends are post-COVID, for example, more emphasis on co-working and walkability and bigger spaces for in public gathering areas, outdoor gathering areas, all those type of things are we're in real time modifying our program.
Speaking with Ryan Trinzik again, Trinzik Residential Group, Managing Director for the Carolinas. Trinzik Residential Group also presenting this feature, Embrace the Space. And you can listen back to the full archive of Embrace the Space conversations at chapelboro.com/embrace the space. So being a developer in Chapel Hill brings various challenges and opportunities. What is good about being a developer in Chapel Hill? What is challenging about it?
I'd say, I mean, technically what's great about Chapel Hill is it's a high barrier entry market, basically meaning it's hard to build here. So when you have a project, it's great. I will say that the flip coin of that is the there's not a lot of supply and there's a high demand. And so
I was going to say, I think you're the first developer to say, thank God it's a high cost of entry to get in Chapel Hill.
Well, you don't want to say that if you don't have projects. But seriously though, it's I think Chapel Hill is evolving also in real time. Their policies, their procedures, prioritizing projects that have income restricted housing or affordable housing, as it may be, and so they're aware now of as they weren't maybe 10 years ago, for example, of the need for housing and the demand that's out there. And you know, it's right now in the large way, it's a commuter market where people are driving in and they can't live where they work, and that's a problem for environmental issues as well as congestion and quality of life. So it goes beyond just, you know, supply. There's an underlying impact there.
Chapel Hill's looking at land use management, we're looking at zoning, we're looking at the Housing Choice Initiative. There's a lot of discussions going on about what kinds of housing, what kind of development do we want to have in Chapel Hill. What can the town do better to produce the kind of projects that we want in Chapel Hill, from your perspective?
Yeah, and I think that's, like you said, there's a discussion happening now. I think what they're discussing about having the accessory dwelling unit, which has been adopted in other municipalities such as Durham and Raleigh. I think that's an interesting, when they talk about missing middle, and I saw the definition that town is using, I think that type of initiative is good, and it's not necessarily driven by developers that are not always local. And so I think that does provide a benefit. Obviously there's pros and cons, but that's one example. What would make it easier is what the things they're doing. Like I said, they're starting to prioritize projects that have those income restricted units that are, for us, we have those that are they're fully privately funded and they're not subsidized by any government influence. So in that regard, I think there's some reward and incentive that kind of loops upon itself to where developers are incentivized to bring a project that has income-restricted units to get that quicker process of approval. So, but also streamlining the boards. There's five or six boards that you have to go through in multiple times usually. And so I think running those concurrent versus consecutive is an important thing where they don't need to be daisy chain, that they can be
overlapping. So you mean like three boards at once?
Exactly.
For instance,
well, over a few weeks or whatnot.
Right.
It's not, you do this board and then, you know, just, yeah, consecutive versus concurrent.
Gotcha.
So a concurrent process is definitely streamlining. And so I think that's also being discussed in the works as well.
For Chapel Hill or for the Triangle, because I know Trinzik's got projects Triangle-wide, where do you think development is headed in the next 10 years?
I would say definitely out towards Chatham County, 540, the new 540 extension that's going to be completed over the next 3 years or so. We actually are opening an office out that way in Holly Springs. So we have our Charlotte office, our downtown Durham office. We'll have Chapel Hill location here as well, and then Holly Springs. So I think 540, finishing that outer loop is a big area of focus. And then also, you know, Pittsburgh, people are heading that way. I think institutional money is heading that way, meaning large institutional capital and developers that build large projects. So that's an area as well. And so Chapel Hill kind of blends in that, and you know, it gets closer in towards that direction. So, but there's no doubt that there's a strong demand in Chapel Hill, and so the more we can build, I think the better affordability in general, adding that supply, decreasing those barriers to entry so that rents don't necessarily increase because of the supply constraints. Mm. And so I think there's a lot of good momentum with the town and support of developers.
What worries you? What keeps you up at night? And what can we do in terms of development to fix that?
I think I don't have many worries. I think it's a process, and I think the town works in good faith. I think there are some towns that don't, and so having a town, all the way from the mayor to the town manager and town staff, chamber, economic development, everybody works in good faith and tries to resolve problems and work collaboratively to achieve our goals as a community. So, like I said, if Chapel wasn't that, I'd have a worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking with Ryan Stewart, Trinsic Residential Group, got to wrap up this conversation. But as we do, every single one of these conversations, we've been ending with the same question, which is, if you had a magic wand and you could fix one development issue in town, what would it be?
I would say the focus on adding commercial retail when it's not necessarily needed. There really needs to be a study on each project, for example, especially in the Blue Hill District. I think there's a lot of retail. In fact, why that was originally was created was to create that mix of uses, because there's so much retail. And I think creating this submarket where it's not as vehicularly oriented, it's more pedestrian focused. And I think adding additional retail where you already have almost every retailer you ever want may be a little bit much. It kind of crops up in different areas. And I think the complexity of a mixed-use project is significant in terms of which developers can do it, which lenders, which equity partners, and it really narrows your field of opportunity for both easy development, access to, you know, quicker approvals, access to capitalize projects quicker. So I think if there was more of a deeper understanding of when that mixed-use element could be incorporated would help a lot.
ChapelBorough.com/embracethespace is the website for the full archive of Embrace the Space conversations, including this one presented by Trinsic Residential Group. And Ryan Stewart represents Trinsic Residential Group here in the studio today. Ryan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.